reading out of the book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 18 through 20, praise God, this morning. But before we go into that, let us go ahead and bow our heads, praise God, and let's pray for this message. Father, as we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and as we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Father, for all things, Father God, we thank you, God, and we ask, God, that you bless this word, Father God. Bless it as it goes out to the people and for those that hear it, Father, that, God, it will be a blessing to them, God, in the mighty name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to speak to everybody about, praise the name of Jesus, are we willing to surrender all? And I think a lot of times inside of people's lives, we intend to do good. We always intend to do good. I don't think that there's a person in this church that intends with inside of their life to do evil to other people, because I know most of you that are here. And, you know, a lot of times, though, we got to be reminded of what it takes in order to enter into the kingdom of God. To actually be a person that is saved, to actually be a person that is prepared and ready to go to meet God. And a lot of times we forget that the one requirement that God has for us is spoken in the book of Matthew 19. And a lot of times we forget how far God expects us to go. A lot of times we limit how far we go with God, which, to be quite honest and frank with you, is a mistake. Because I always looked at it like this in my Christian walk with God. It's better to go overboard than to get thrown overboard. It's always better to do more than what is really expected of you. Especially when it comes to the things of God. And even the Bible, if you notice, the Bible even talks about when you do something, do it as if you're doing it unto Christ. And that's talking about the secular world. When you're at your jobs, when you're at your homes, not inside the church and not how you're serving God. But that is just talking about out there. So how much more do we actually think that God requires out of us? See, if we either give it all up or none of it. Because the Bible points out one thing. The Bible says this, that you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one or you're going to hate the other. One of the two you're going to follow. The Bible also teaches us that light and darkness cannot abide together. God is either in you or He's not in you. See, a lot of times we don't realize that there is not a gray area in life. Life is black and white. Your spiritual life is black and white. There is no gray area, which is what happens when you mix black and white together. You get this nasty looking gray area. And the Bible, you know, I'm showing you just a few of the scriptures right now, besides the main one that we're going to get into in Matthew 19. The Bible says that there are two roads that a person can choose from. One will lead to eternal life, and the other one will lead to hell. That's the Bruce Miller version. But it still comes down to the same thing. You have choices inside of our lives. And understand this. Those choices are not on a monthly. They're not on a biannual. They're not on a yearly decision. They're on an everyday decision. The minute you get out of that bed, you set your feet on that cold floor, and you have got to make a decision who you're going to walk with that day. It's either going to be God or it's going to be with the devil. Because, again, there is not that gray area. There is never that gray area. Now, let's go to Matthew 19. We're going to be reading out of 16 through 20. Praise the name of Jesus. And I want to kind of give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about. This is a man that he wanted it all. Reminds me of some people that I know that, you know, that they want everything from God, but they don't want God. They want the blessings. They want the okay by God. They want the pat on the back. You're doing a good job by God. They want to believe in their hearts that God's answering all of their prayers because God is love. But there's a problem with that theory. Besides, it just doesn't work. Because God is love. I'm not going to dispute that part. He is. But I want you to understand this. In order to get into that covenant of love with God, your walk's got to be right with God. God loves the sinner and the saint alike. God does not like the way that we behave sometimes. And see, that's what God is trying to get to us. What God is trying to get us to understand, it's not just so much of who we are, but it's how we are. It's not who we are by name. It's who we know by name. Do you really know Jesus this morning as your personal Savior? Is He the Lord of your life? That's the question you have to ask yourself. People, you can only have one Lord. You only have to understand this. You only have one Lord, and His name is Jesus. By Lord, what is that? The word Lord itself gives that person authority over you. The Bible speaks a lot about slavery. And if you get into it as a slave, does not question the master. It's kind of like the parable in the Bible where the Bible says that the clay does not tell the potter how to mold it. Well, one, clay doesn't talk. And if it does, we need help. Clay doesn't talk. It's not going to say anything. You can sit there, and I want you to think of what that poor piece of clay goes through, and maybe you can realize and recognize some of the stuff in your life. What happens? One, it gets soaked. So it becomes pliable. Two, they always take their thumb and poke it in your eye. You ever been there? Then they begin to stretch you out. Then if it doesn't look right, then they hit you. This is just the beginnings of making something beautiful. All of this transpires in our lives. We go through trials and tribulations, and we blame the devil, and we sit there, the devil is a liar, and all of this stuff, but what we don't realize is that a lot of times, those things that we go through are God. Granted, the devil may be in the midst of them, and I'm not going to deny that, but it is God. God will use what the devil's trying to do to you to teach you something, to mold you. And that's what this rich young ruler had a problem with. He wanted everything, just like we all do. Everybody wants the blessings of God. Everybody gets excited when the preacher comes up here, the evangelist comes up here, and starts preaching about prosperity and all this other stuff. But there's a catch-22, which a lot of them don't tell you about. There are rules to grab a hold of those things. And that's what I want to talk to you about. It's serving God is not a surface thing. You know, a lot of times in a lot of churches, people get this idea that as long as they go to church, I'm good. That's not enough. That is not enough. God is the God of the inside of the church as well as the outside of the church. Inside of your jobs, at your own homes. And see, this is what the problem that was happening here with this rich young ruler. He had the laws, because remember, he was a Jew. He had the laws down. You know, I know the law. Don't mess with me with the law. He knew the law. But the problem was he didn't know them completely. Now look at this. Let's listen to what Matthew 19:16-20 says.
Matthew 19:16-20. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? 17. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. 18. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. 19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 20. the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth, of what lack I yet?
What? Now, the question you have to ask yourself this morning is, on the very last part of that statement, what lack I yet? See, he thought he was doing good. He thought he had it all under control. He thought, well, you know, Jesus looked at him, and number one, he questioned, why do you call me good? Everybody has faults. God understands that, okay? There's nobody under the sun, like the Bible says. None are righteous. And see, that's what Jesus came into our lives to try to do, but a lot of times we don't fulfill that, reaching that righteousness state, because we fight the literal hand of God. We do like Paul. We fight the literal hand of God. How? By resisting his leadership with inside of our lives. And see, that's the problem with Paul too. Not just the rich young ruler, but with Paul too, because if you think about it, Paul knew the Bible. He was a scholar, okay? He knew the Bible, but the problem is, he just wasn't applying the Bible right. He learned what they taught him. And see, this is what Jesus is now saying. Hey, go outside of the box. What I am saying now, go outside of what the Old Testament taught you. That doesn't mean to put the Old Testament aside, because if you put the Old Testament aside, the New Testament means nothing. Because the two coincide as one. They equal out each other. They do not cancel out each other. They add on to each other. They bring a significance to each other in the two books. But see, what a lot of times we don't realize is that when it comes down to actually surrendering everything inside of our lives, people, that means everything. Not just one or two things. Not just the things that you want to surrender. You know, I'm gonna quit this, but I'm not going to quit this. This is okay, but I'm not going to do this. I'll do this, but I'm not going any farther. But the problem is, you have become the master. And if you are the master, you have no master. You are no longer a servant, except the self-will. And I want to explain something to you so there is actually no misunderstandings. That's where the devil fell. If I. That's all I kept saying. If I was in control, I'd do this. If I could was this, I could do this. If I. In other words, he no longer respected God's perfect plan inside of his life. He decided, I want to do what I want to do, and we all know what happened to him. And see, a lot of times what we don't realize is if we are not careful, the same thing that happened to him can happen to us. And you can cry out, God is love, but the Bible also says, like I say all the time, the Bible never cancels out anything. The Bible always adds on things. The Bible says that it is a horrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Does that sound like a threat to you? It does to me. It is God telling us, hey, you know, it's like your parents always say, you don't do that, one, two, and you know what happens when you get around three? Hopefully your parents don't just threaten you. But there is an action. And see, a lot of times, this is what happens inside of us. We look at the story of the rich young ruler here. He came and he asked the question. Now, this guy was kind of a chicken. You won't find that in the Bible, okay? But he was. Because he came to Jesus at night. He didn't want his friends to know. You know, I don't want somebody to know I'm one of those Jesus freaks, you know. I want to be known in the synagogues as one of them fine Jewish young men with a lot of money. I got a status to keep hold of. And see, that was one of his biggest problems. I have actually had people as, years back, I remember there was this one young man, and I added up to, young man, okay, that's what I added it up to. He said, I don't want the Holy Ghost. I'm going, man, are you crazy? Why don't you want the Holy Ghost? And he says, because I don't want to look foolish. And I'm going, okay, the Bible tells us to seek it. The Bible tells us we need it. The Bible says with it we have more power. And you're worried about what people think about you? right there, I already know his testimony at his job. Because he's one of those CIA agents. Nobody knows he's a Christian. He's undercover. Nobody has a clue what's going on inside of his life. He just kind of, yeah. And when the jokes go, he laughs, you know, and then kind of walks off. That's, you can tell. You can tell. And this is why the Bible says that by their fruits, you can tell who they are. You know, a lot of times I look at people, and I got to say, I watch people. I've always told you this. I watch people. I watch their mannerisms. I watch the way they look. I watch the direction they look. I watch everything that goes on. There is over, I think, 250 different movements your face alone will make when it tells me you're lying. Try to cover up all 250 of them. I think it's somewhere around it. Go ahead, try it. It's difficult. This will twitch, that will move, your eyes will move down and to the left, and what do we do as criminals? We're all trying to sit there and look the other direction. It doesn't work because it's nature. It's nature. And the thing is, you might lie to me, but God doesn't need all those physical things. He just looks at your heart and he sees it turn black. And he goes, yeah, okay. That was the truth. I know it was. But see, a lot of times we don't realize that God knows where we're standing right now. God knows and recognizes who we are in him. And see, a lot of times we look at this Richard Rohr, and he came, he asked a question, just like all of us here. We may not have asked the question, how do I get saved? How do I obtain eternal life? But we all came to this altar of God. We all bowed our knees down to God. We all accepted Jesus Christ into our lives. And then we all got up and made the decision of our lives, who you going to follow? Because it doesn't happen here. It happens after you get out there. You might say stuff up here, but it's your actions out there that count. That's what God looks at, because all this is lip service. Because the Bible says this is one of the problems the church was having. They would sit there, and the Bible says, and Jesus said it, or God said it the best way. He said, they worship me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. God knows where we're at. God knows if we have surrendered everything. God knows if we have given it all up for him, or if we're holding back some of it. And see, this is why Jesus, if you look from 17 on, 17 and 18 and 19, he begins this list. Did you do this? Did you do this? There's a check-off list in the Bible. Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? And he comes up and he finally gets to the point, and the young man says, well, wait a minute. I've done all this. So what am I lacking? What else is there? And look at this. Now here comes the fun part. Drop down one verse, 21. Matthew 19, 21, look at what it says.
Matthew 19, 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.
Now, that was his response to him. Now, I want you to think about this young man, inexperienced. He thinks he's doing right here, and right now Jesus say, okay, you now hold the balance in your hands. This is it. You can either lean towards Jesus, or you can lean towards the other side. In other words, what he'd already been taught. We all have this decision to make in our life. We're either going to lean towards Jesus, or we're going to go back and we're going to accept the teachings that the world has instilled in us. And what is the world instilled in us? Let's give you some clue of what I'm talking about. Well, men, they keep this macho attitude. Women, they stay catty. Same thing. Certain things like that. There is no change in our lives. There is no surrendering of everything to Jesus. Because the Bible says what? That we are to what? Humble ourselves before the Lord. There's some guys that will not bow a knee to God. And there are some women that refuse to give up and surrender what they're supposed to surrender unto God because of the attitude. We have got these little areas, and just like this rich young ruler, we may not have as much money as he had, but you know, it's funny. God knows the areas we need to fix. And God will always, people, require those areas. Just like with this rich young ruler, God required of him the one thing that he held dear the most. People, do I dare bring up Abraham? Need I point out what happened with Abraham? To prove my point that God always requires of you that thing that you have the most respect for in your life. If it's God, you're doing good because he won't respect anything. But because it's not always God, God will look at you and he doesn't care if it's your son. Because what did he tell Abraham? Take him up there, slit his throat. That's basically it. Another Bruce Miller version of the Bible. Take him up there, I want you to make a burnt offering. I want you to incinerate him and give him back to me. That was his only son. And let me tell you something, you know, we cherish sons in our culture. But back then, sons, it was even more of a thing then. You know, now we put sons and daughters in just like this. But in that day, you had a son, you had somebody to inherit. Because the girls never inherited, I'm sorry. Don't blame me, that's the way they were. I was not, okay? But they never inherited anything. They had to go out, find a husband, hook him up, if they wanted anything out of life. Otherwise, you're doomed. That's basically the truth. That's basically the truth. And see, a lot of times, this is the problem that Abraham had, was he loved his son, but God needed to know one thing. Just like he needs to know inside of our lives. What do you love most? What do you love most? I knew this one brother. I felt so bad for him. I did. He had this thing for cars. I thought I had it bad. This guy had it bad, okay? He loved his cars. I mean, he had all kinds of fast cars. I keep telling my wife someday. As a matter of fact, yesterday I came out to the thing. I said, hey, we need to go get a new car. They got a sale going on those Coopers. I'm going to put a sign on the back, faster, faster. Thought you like that. I'll never be in a late church, the church, I'll tell you that much. Of course, I never am anyway. But see, a lot of times, this guy, he had this thing for his cars. I mean, he'd shine that car, he'd wax that car. That guy spent more on our borrow than I did on anything I owned. And it never failed. God, I hate to say God did it, but I really believe in my heart God did do it. That guy went through 5 cars in 3 months. That's got to be a record. He'd get a car and he would park that thing in the back 40 away from everybody. He loved his cars. And he'd get all upset at God. That's where his fault was. It wasn't that he had the nice car. You can have a BMW, you can have a Cadillac. God doesn't care what kind of a transportation mode you have. He does not care about that. He does not. But what he cares about is your attitude towards that thing. Towards it. Do you really love that thing more than you do God? Will you allow some child in the back seat of that car with that ice cream cone is what the real question comes down to for that brother. And can you guess what the answer to that was? If it was up to this brother, he would have put a fence around that car in the parking lot just to keep people away from it. Now, I like my cars. I enjoy my cars. And I appreciate, you know, older cars and all of this stuff. But let me tell you something. I've learned one thing over the years. Don't become too attached to something you can't afford to lose. Because when you do, that's when the mistake starts. Now, for those of you that may be getting ahead of me, that does not include your husband or your wife, okay? So that does not work, okay? That does not work. Because the Bible says, till death do you part, taking, Lord, I know somebody's going to come up with that. But that's not going to work either, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, and all the sisters said, thank you. People, we have to realize something. inside of our lives, we have a choice to make. And that choice is, how much are we willing to give up for God? I remember when me and my wife were coming up in the Lord, and you know, when you don't know a whole lot of verses, it's hard. I mean, now I have this verse to stand on, this verse to stand on, this verse and this verse. Well, basically the whole Bible. But I didn't know that much then. And let me tell you something. God ran us through the ringer. Most of you here know our testimony, what we've gone through and what we're going through. But see, throughout everything, there's one verse in the Bible that stands through. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he'll get you through every one of them. And he has brought us to this point. But I want you to understand something. There is a reason that me and my wife have gotten to this point. It's because of what we have done. We gave it all up. We gave it all up. You know, I laugh to myself. I don't laugh out loud when somebody brings this up, but I laugh to myself when I hear people talking about, oh, brother, you, because I'm this color and not this color. You know, they look at me and they go, well, brother, you wouldn't understand this because you're white. Okay, what would I understand? You don't know the poverty that's over in Mexico. How they sleep on dirt floors. Been there, done, did that for a year and a half as a pastor of another church. And that was in America. So you don't have to go to Mexico. I can still take you to where we used to live. It's still there. The church isn't, but where I lived is. It used to be a chicken coop. So don't tell me I don't know. I do know. Me and my wife have given up so much of our life for God. And I'm not saying this in a bragging way because let me tell you something. It's hard. It's hard to give it up. It's hard when people talk about you. It's hard when people misuse you. It's hard when things don't go right. It's hard when your car blows up. But yet, nevertheless, God brings us out of every single one of them. And the reason is why? It's our commitment, people. It's our commitment to God. And a lot of times we have to realize, just like with this rich young ruler, people, he told him a simple thing. Two simple things. He said, give up all your money. Woo! Now this was not just a ruler. This was a rich young ruler. That rich adds a lot to the story, doesn't it? You know, you go, he was a poverty ruler. That doesn't, you know, give up what, $1.99 in the offering? But he said, no, give up all that you own. All? That's a killer word for a lot of people, all. And then come and follow me. Give it all up, because you ain't going to need it, because you follow me, I will make you fishermen of men, I will supply all of your needs. That's what Jesus was telling him. But no, he would rather put his security on what he has. And that's where we make our mistakes. I've seen people, literally, they sit there and they work and they work and they work and they work, and people, I want you to understand, one good disease, you don't want to see some of the bulls I've got. One good disease, when my wife, they pronounced over her with a great deal of pride that she had cancer. They gave her 2 to 4 months. We got an ongoing argument about that, whether it was 2 or 4. I say it's 4, she says it's 2. But either way, they only gave her a short time to live. This was all going on now 7 years. She is now cancer-free completely without taking any chemo. Now, I'm telling everybody, don't go take chemo. I am not, because I am not your doctor. But what I am saying is that is what she decided, what we talked about, and she said, I don't want to do this because I'll end up, yeah. But throughout all of this, she placed her trust in God. I placed my trust in God. And I don't mean by placing my trust in God, God, let your will be done. People, there is God's will, and it's called your Bible. And there's a day I'm going to come and I'm going to preach, and I found out the reason good Christians die from sickness. How many of you know? How many of you out here know somebody, a Christian, that has died from sickness? Anybody? I want you to understand something. There's a reason for it, and it's not God's fault. And I'm going to bring a message on that. I'm not going to get into it today. But I'm going to bring a message on it. God showed me throughout all this mess we've been going through. See, if you listen, don't get so caught up in the problem you're in. You listen to the voice of God. God will show you exactly why good Christians die. They don't go to hell, by the way. but it is not God's will. But yet it is God's will. It's hard to explain it right now. But I want you to understand something. In our life, God's will right now is for us to get the understanding, how do we surrender it all? This young man, he told him, look, you come follow me, you get rid of everything because you're not going to need it. Number one, that's what you have to do. You have to realize what you have, you don't need. God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and His glory. That's what the Bible says. And these days, people, we can't put our trust in anything. Not on this earth. Jobs are going, our government shot. I mean, it's got issues going on. I mean, we don't have anything that you can sit there and say, oh, this is going to be forever, except for taxes, maybe. That's the only thing. But yet, we have a God we can turn to that will never forsake us, the Bible says. He will never leave us alone. And the moment we cry, He is right there. And a lot of people forget that when you go through things, when you learn and you begin to learn how to surrender things, you're going to go through things. You're going to go through things. Because there are a time of testing. You have to learn that you have to give it up. You have to surrender it. You have to give it all up. And when you go through trials and tribulations, you have to give it up to God and say, God, you know what you're doing. And you have to realize God does not have to explain Himself to you. He already has. That's the problem. Most people go, why God? Why me? Because the person sitting next to you in the congregation going, I'm glad it ain't me. That's why. They don't want it. You don't want it. But yet you're still stuck with it. Why? Because it's God's will in that time. The Bible says there is a season for everything. There's a season to weep. There's a season to be happy. There's a time for everything inside of our lives. There's good times, there's bad times, there's worse times, and there are really great times. It's like the seasons the Bible talks about. They constantly change. But are we willing to give it all up? And I'm talking about all. Not just some of it, but every part of your life. Do you know that's why my wife survived? Because she gave it all up. I can give it up. That she ain't me. I can give it up. That don't count for her. This is an individual thing. You look at Job, what he went through. Man went through it. You gotta admit that. He went through it, but nevertheless, he came out on the end of that doing pretty good, didn't he? Even though he in the middle of his trial, he done like a lot of us. He began to withdraw. He began to get into the flesh. He began to go, God, I'd rather be dead, really. Why did I even get born? Why can't I just forget my kids that they were born? Why can't I just go back and just forget everything? Forget I have a wife that is not supporting me right now. Everything is going wrong. And that's where we get a lot of times. But this is what you got to remember was what Job started out with. I came into this world with nothing. All of us did. We may have stuff now, but we came into this world. I want you to understand something. And I really hate to tell you brothers this, your guitars aren't going with you. We might, if we don't pawn them, we might put them in the grave with you if you request it. But they ain't going any farther. The only thing that's going to go to heaven, and the only thing that matters to us today on what's going to heaven is us. But the only way to get there, according to what the Bible says, is by us surrendering everything. That one thing that holds us back. What do I lack? What do I lack from getting into the kingdom of God? That's our question for the day. What do I lack? Look at what it says in Matthew 19:22.
Matthew 19:22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
That was his problem. He had great possessions. Now, you know, you look at this, and a lot of people miss this. He went away sorrowful. He knew what was right. people, let's get real. We know what's right, don't we? We know what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. We know. We know what we need to surrender. We all know what we need to be doing and how we need to be acting. But see, that's what tugs on our hearts a lot of times. That's why we get sad sometimes, just like this young man. He said, but wait a minute. I've done all this stuff. According to the deacon in our church, I'm doing okay. Deacon ain't any more saved than he is. And this man here, Jesus, is telling me, I have to do more? What does God want from me? Everything. 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 See, the problem with this young man was, he was not concerned about anybody else. But see, that's one of the greatest teachings in the Bible is, that we are to love who? Our neighbors. As we love ourselves. If you don't love your neighbors, you don't love yourself. Everything, you know, there's always two sides to every coin. But see, a lot of times what we don't realize is that because we don't surrender everything, that's why our lives are so off-centered. That's why we don't have the joy of the Lord. We look at the Bible, and the Bible says that we are supposed to, and it promises that we have the joy of the Lord. People, I want you to understand something. You have the joy of the Lord when you know the Lord. Things may be difficult in your life, and I'm not going to say you're going to be walking around with these rose-colored glasses on, with a silly grin on your face like you're stoned. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a joy that is inside of you that, you know, God put in there, and the devil can't take it out. But that only comes, people, when we surrender everything to God, when we are in the will of God. Because we are confirmed with inside of our hearts that no matter what hits us, whether I live or rather I die, I do it for Jesus. And I will have a home in heaven. That's what we need to realize. This is what God is saying, surrender. Now look at this. I want to show you four examples in the Bible. You know, a lot of times, if you notice something, in all of those scriptures, Jesus spoke this one word. Be perfect. There's this nasty teaching going on that we cannot become perfect. Yes, you can. Now, I'm not talking about perfect according to your husband. I'm not talking about perfect according to your wife. And I'm not talking perfect according to the people that are around you. I'm talking perfect according to the Word of God. Because there are four different scriptures in here that says, yes, you can become perfect. And it begins out with learning how to surrender your life to God. Because without that, you're not perfect. You are an imperfect person. And as long as we don't realize that we have to become perfect to enter into the kingdom of God, we're in trouble. Now look at this. We're going to start out in Genesis 6. 6:9. The next time the devil tells you you can't become perfect, you need to circle this Genesis 6:9 in your Bible. Because you can, because I want you to understand something. Noah was. Listen to what it says. Genesis 6:9.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God.
He was perfect in his generation. In other words, at that time, he was the first just man that was recognized. I want you to realize something. If the Bible says that somebody can do it other than just that person. But see, what you know what separates Noah from us? He made a decision. He surrendered his life to God. Picture this. This is the perfect idea of what surrendering your life is to God. Brother, go outside and I want you to start building an ark. Gather up all of the animals. And he's sitting there. See, he's not in the perfect will. Why? Well, one, I'm not God, okay? But if I was, he'd be in trouble right now. He would not be perfect because he didn't move on the Word of God. And see, a lot of us, that's what the problem is. We don't move on the Word of God, your Bible, in other words. And that's why we are not perfect. That's what God is not is saying. Nobody is perfect. I mean, there's no perfect 10 women, period. I don't care. They either burn the eggs, fry the beans too long, or they do something wrong. There is no perfect 10. There is always a flaw. Notice this. On a woman, if they have a mole, they call it a beauty mark. They're lying. It's a mole. But they glorify it. They're imperfect. See, this is the thing that we have to realize. We are not perfect in the flesh, but spiritually we can become the perfect man and woman of God. And the problem is we just need to apply the word. Go to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. We're going to talk about Abraham. And look at what God says about Abraham.
Genesis 17:1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.
Be thou perfect. Strive for that perfectness. People, I want you to understand something. If God calls you to do something, he's going to enable you to do it. And that means all of us people, not just the preacher, not just the evangelist, not just the deacons. He called all of us to be perfect. Now, another man that God called out, of all men, of course, we should figure Job. But yet, look at what Job went through. So you cannot sit there because you're having a bad day, a bad month, or a bad year. You cannot sit there and say that you cannot become perfect because you have problems. You overcome those problems just like Job did. How? By standing on the Word of God. By believing in God. Look at what it says. Job 1:1.
Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and that eschewed evil.
Now, what is this requirement? What made him so perfect? One, he was upright. In other words, he knew the Word of God. He knew the laws of God. He followed them. He feared God. He showed reverence toward the God. See, and a lot of times this is what I mean. We don't understand some of the words that are in the Bible. I mean, if we could become as perfect, I want you to understand something. Everybody has fallen short of the Word of God somewhere. Or the Bible wouldn't say verses like, you know, that the righteous will fall, but they do what? They get back up, don't they? God lifts them back up. And that's a righteous person. But see, what perfectness that God is talking about isn't trying to make myself look perfect, act perfect, and everything else, because it's not in our nature. What he's talking about is making yourself perfect according to the Word of God. Are you following the Word of God? Are you living the godly life? Have you surrendered all of your life to God? Are you holding back certain parts? And if you're holding back certain parts, those are the parts that God will require of you until you surrender them or until you walk away like that rich young ruler did. Now look at this. The last one is in Matthew 5, verse 48. Matthew 5, verse 48. That's what it says.
Matthew 5, 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
That's your example. That's your example. You can look around the churches. I don't care what church you walk into. The Bible doesn't say, be ye holy as that pastor is holy. It doesn't say, be ye holy as that deacon is holy. It doesn't say, be ye perfect as that person sitting next to you is. He said, be ye perfect as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's your goal. That's your goal. And people, we need to learn to surrender to God. Because God is trying to get us to that goal where we become like Him. Our attitudes become like Him. Where we become His representative down here. Now, I want to show you something here in closing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and I'm going to end with this verse. And this is what it says, praise the Lord.
2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
That verse applies in your life in this way. What you sow into your Christian walk with God is what you're going to get back out of it. You want the blessings, you want the joy, you want the peace, you want all the promises that God has in your Bible. I want you to understand something. It takes one. If you notice, it says, he which sows. In other words, that he is a person. It takes an action. You're not going to go out, buy you a bag of seeds, and set them down on your counter in your home and wait for them to grow. You know, it's not going to work. It's just going to sit there. You're going to sit there. It's going to sit there. It's kind of like watching grass grow. It's not happening. You have to do something with what God has planted inside of your life. He's given you the Word of God. Now, what are you going to do with it? You can do like some people, put it right next to the TV guide. And it does you no good until you start surrendering everything in your life and you start following what that Word of God tells you inside of your life. And until you become perfect like that Bible says you can become perfect, people, nothing's going to happen. You will get to this point. You will not excel anymore. You will just stay here the rest of your life. And so many people inside, so many churches, people are right like this, and they're happy. They're just, I'm good, you're good, I'm okay, you're okay. But really, they're not. There's so much that God wants to give us, people. So much God wants to do with inside of our lives. But the problem is, we're stopping him. Not the devil, we're stopping him. We are hindering the work of God with inside of us. We are hindering the blessings of God simply because we refuse to surrender everything to God. We hold back a little. Because, you know, I'm not going to do that. I am not doing that. There is no way I'm doing this. You know, I'll do that. That's fine. I'll do that, you know. But I'm not doing this. We try to pick and choose what we want to do for God. And the problem is, there's so many people that these days they come up and they go, God, use me, Lord. But like the rich young ruler, when God says, okay, give away all you've got. Wait a minute, Lord. I've got bills. How many use that excuse? The reason I asked that question is because I did. I remember years back when I was a young man in the Lord, and I loved the Lord when I came to the Lord, and you know, I sat there and I heard his voice, people. Just like I'm talking to you now. And wouldn't you know it? That night we decided we were going to go to a revival. And I was way up on the top bleachers, give you an idea how big this revival was. And back in those days, that was big. If you were up on the bleachers, it was big. And I was way up on the top of the bleacher. I was sitting there. And just as God spoke to me, I want you to give your paycheck. And when'd you do it? I work for the city. How many of you get paid by the month? How many knows that's a real bummer to hear from God at that moment? I sat there and I go, no, that wasn't God. Yeah, I argue just like all of you do, so don't look at me like that. That wasn't God. That had to be the devil. Then he talked to me again. Give it all. So I went down there and I reached in my pocket. I pulled out my wallet. I opened it up and I looked in there. Just cashed my check. And we didn't have a bank in those days, so God's timing's perfect. You know what I'm saying? So I'm walking down there. I'm reaching for that. I was going to be generous, that 20. And I'm saying, I'm looking for that 20. Okay. And I'm walking down there like this because I didn't want everybody to see how much, because I was afraid I was going to get bugged. Yeah, I'm worried about giving it to God, but, you know, the buggers are worse. And I get down there, God says, no, that's not enough. So, okay. And I went, so I just took a handful, pulled it over, and I said, okay. And as I kept walking, the line was long, people. God had a lot of time to talk to me. And, you know, I got down there, and I looked, and then, okay, all right, well, I got to keep this much because of the bills. And God said, no. He says, no, I want it all. Then I got testy. Like none of you have ever gotten testy with God. I got testy with God a little bit. Well, fine. I put it in the offering plate. I said, I'm going to do what you say, God, but you explain it to my wife. Now, this is the best part. I get up there and I sat down and my wife goes, how much did you get? All of it. How much? I couldn't hear you. All of it. And she goes, okay. I almost fell out of my seat. But see, that's the difference. A lot of times, sisters, this is a good lesson for all of you too. That's the difference between my wife and a lot of wives that are not sold out for Christ. Her answer was what? Okay, you know why? Because God did what I requested of him, kind of not in the best way, but he forgave me because of my ignorance, and that's what it was. And he touched her heart, and he said, okay. And we went home, busted and deducted, no money, the bills are coming in, but it's funny, as the bills came in, people would give us money. Now, my thing is, God, you feel, oh, I'm going to give my whole paycheck just so God will bless me. Let me tell you, if it ain't of God, you go in the poorhouse. Because if the anointing's not on it, don't do it. But if he tells you to do it, you do it. You give, because God will give you back. I remember that it was the funniest thing. We were totally broke, and you remember when my wife used to tell you about that time we were totally broke, and somebody leave us money in the front seat of the car every single day. Just enough gas money. And we were in one of those little Opals, I think they were called. That's the name of a car. Old car. You know, or no, it was a Pinto. Not an Opal, it was a Pinto. Just enough. $2. $2 in an Opal will get you a long way. Of course, I used to live from Bastrop Plain to 290 when I drive a day back in those days. And every day, but God supplied the need. And we started to learn, and people, this is what I want you to understand this. We have to learn to surrender to God what belongs to God. You have to learn this. Because when you learn that, I want you to understand this. That's what opens up the windows of heaven. That's where the blessing will overcome your barns, people. You won't have enough to actually be able to store what God will place inside of your heart. And people, all God says is surrender it. And it's a learning process. It is a walk, people. But it is something that we have to do. Amen? Let's all rise. Praise God.